Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. First of all, I must apologise for not being here last Wednesday, but I was right in the middle of a COVID little adventure. So anyway, all clear now. We're back again. So take care, because I have read that it's on the rise, and I certainly picked it up. It's not a lot of fun. But anyway, let's get over that. It's my pleasure now to introduce a lady that we've spoken to many times, and her name is Heidi, and she's the CEO of Vanker. We're going to talk about their Christmas fundraiser. But first of all, welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me back again.
Not a problem. Always great to have you. Now, Heidi, times are tough, we know that at the moment, but I guess, and I think I've been reading it in quite a few spots, and no doubt at the moment you're probably having record runs on people needing your services, aren't you?
Yes, we certainly are, Alan. I guess our Christmas appeal is really, you know, trying to support young people, children and young people who are facing homelessness this Christmas. We know children and young people, you know, they look forward to Christmas most of the year. It's very exciting. But unfortunately, for many children and young people this year, it really won't be one field of joy and time spent with family. We know that, with our children who are in foster care and kinship care, they often won't see their birth family on Christmas Day, although their carers will make the experience great for them. But we also have a lot of kids who will be in motels, sleeping in cars, sleeping in tents, and, you know, following their parents into homelessness. But alarmingly, we're now getting some statistics through that nearly 30% of all people that present to homelessness services across Australia under 18. That's a lot 30, of people.
30%.
30%. 30%. So that of 273,000, that's approximately 76,000, which is very alarming. And the highest rate of support requests come from young women aged 15 to 17.
Who've had to leave home through no fault of their own.
Yes, often that, our story that we're putting out there on our website and socials is about Omi. Omi is a really great example of a young woman that found herself homeless, had to leave home because of the fighting, and she felt much safer away from home. But as she said, you know, she talks about her story of, going into the city, which a lot of young ones do. Yep. She had a suitcase she was pulling along. In the end, she gave away all her possessions because she couldn't carry them anymore. She'd do things like sleep in the toilets at Crown because that felt safer than being out on the street. She said she was absolutely terrified. So Omi's been with Anchor now in one of our homelessness services, our youth foyer, for best part of a year. And she's just now thriving. She's doing her floristry qualification. Great. She's settled right down. She's, you know, really going really well. But unfortunately, there's so many more Omis out there that we don't have room for. And we're trying to raise funds this Christmas really for better times for children and young people that experience homelessness at Christmas time, because it's incredibly isolating, it's incredibly scary, and, you know, while everyone else has sort of got big smiles on their faces, these kids don't.
And the other problem is, and you'd be able to tell us a bit more about, I've read about this, that unfortunately when some of these young people turn up in the city, some of the older creeps see them as vulnerable and prey on them, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that once a young person is exposed, wherever they're exposed, in the city or elsewhere, they come under observation by, you know, not so savoury characters. We talk about young women being very unsafe for obvious reasons, but young men are too. It's very dangerous out there in the streets. It's dangerous not to have a place of safety, whatever age you are, really. But I guess, you know, I just really want to highlight to people that, you know, as I said, a third of Australia's homeless persons on any one night are under 18.
And look, can I just stop you there for half a tick, Heidi? I don't like to cut across you, but let's just stop that. I mean, 30% sounds terrible, but now go to your next statistic as to how many people that is.
That's 76,000 on any one night.
I mean, it's easy. Well, I don't say it's easy to walk over 30%, but when you start talking 76,000 children, that's incredible.
Mm. Mm. And, you know, I just think that people just, they just wouldn't realise that and comprehend that at all. And you know, we can have, you know, I mean, I know that people probably have some fairly, you know, concrete views on who's homeless and what do they look like and all that sort of stuff. But I think when people realise that these children and young people, that they don't make this choice. This is not their choice to be in this situation. And so they shouldn't have to pay for that. They shouldn't have to pay with, a bunch of sadness at Christmas and feeling so left out, you know?
And the other issue is, and we don't want to go too deeply into it, but some of these young children can be fighting, but it can be being sexually attacked and all sorts of stuff, is it? Like, they just don't have a bit of a blue with mum and dad and say, oh, I'm going to... And I'll be going to become homeless. I mean, they might go away to a friend's place for a night, but they come back. But, I mean, we're talking about kids now who are really being seriously damaged, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think, Alan, you know, what we know from some research we did about 10 years ago, that for young people, teenagers, anywhere from, you know, 11, 12 upwards, what we know is that if they're unsafe at home, what they'll do is they'll start couch surfing at friends' houses or relatives or whatever, and then, you know, after a couple of years of doing that, their welcome starts wearing out. People go, oh, you know, I don't really want you here anymore. Yep. And then they're out. You know, they're out on the streets. I mean, where are they sort of supposed to go? They can't rent anything. They can't, you know, and they often feel that they can't return home because, as you say, it can be very unsafe. Right. The consequences can be not good.
Heidi, I've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. We're going to hear all about this, and towards 1 o'clock, have a paper and pencil ready, because Heidi's going to give you some details. And if you've got the odd dollar, I know times are tough, but if you've got the odd dollar, cup of coffee you miss out a couple of times a week soon adds up. So we'll be back in a few moments, but certainly have your paper and pencil ready just before 1 o'clock and see if we can't make a real difference this Christmas. listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And we're talking to Heidi. She's the CEO down at Anchor. Heidi, you've given us some terrible numbers, I must say, when we start to talk. So you wouldn't think, and I don't want to get into politics, and you know we don't talk politics, you wouldn't think in a first... We've got to remember, we are a first world country, aren't we? We're not a third world country.
Yes. we certainly are, Alan. And I think that that this problem can go away if we all chip in and if we all lean into it. And as you say, if we have the political will to solve this issue, it is solvable. It's actually not. It's not a enormously difficult thing. And yet, you know, what we know with these, you know, these. I mean, we're talking 76,000. But you know, if we actually don't treat those 76,000 children and young people homeless today as an emergency, yep. like the situation is an emergency, what we know from Canadian research is that 50% of all adult people who are homeless experienced homelessness as a child. And so,
so
we
it's
going to
get
that,
worse, isn't it?
Well, the thing
for
is
them.
Is that we... That's right. If we don't intervene quickly and early and get people up and running again when they're children and young people, we know it, their experience may very well be repeated again in adulthood. And I just don't think we need that. We lose productivity in our workforce. We lose taxes. We lose, you know, we end up, you know, with hospitals costing us more and drug and alcohol issues, all that sort of stuff. It all costs us a lot of money not to intervene now. It costs us a lot of money in the long run.
And I guess the other thing is too, and you've alluded that you've obviously got some young people in motels, but that's unsustainable, A, for the young person and for Anchor as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, a motel is nowhere to bring up your child.
No.
It's nowhere for children and young people to be. And with the coming of, you know, like we've got the holiday season coming and whatever. And so, you know, motels start getting packed out, you know, some places, people come to the Yarra Valley or whatever. So the availability even of that accommodation becomes a bit more scarce. But it is a very short-term thing. It's a very short-term thing. It gives people some shelter, but it's not a life. It's not a life that they can build on, unfortunately.
I guess the other problem that you've got is that if you've got them in motels or just living around the place, or if they're not even that lucky, they're still living on the street, not only does that affect them right now, but it's going to affect their jobs in the future because they can't go to school. They won't have the even you know, they won't go, they haven't got uniforms, that. So all of a sudden, not only have you robbed them of their growing years, but then you've really robbed them of their whole future.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think, and I just think that, you know, that all these 76,000 children, young people have a face. And, you know, I really love it if people went to our website and Omi's story is on there for people to be able to see. It's a very compelling story. It's, you know, the work that Anchor do. But I'd just like to take the opportunity to shout out to some people that are already helping us so
Absolutely.
Much. We have a Christmas party on Friday for all the kids and families in our homelessness services. It's always a great event every year. We do it in a play centre, so they have a lot of fun. The Lions Rotary Club of Lilydale go around all the businesses in Lilydale and collect presents.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it is amazing how much they collect, and vouchers and presents and beautiful things. And honestly, the kids that receive those and the young people, you know, who receive the vouchers or whatever, it really makes them feel as though someone out there cares about them, that they're being... Yeah. that they're on someone's radar, and I think it makes so much difference. I also know that what they do with what we don't need, because they get so many, you have no idea. They go to about 60 businesses in Lilydale. They get so much support for this. They actually give them to the police, who also give them out on Christmas Day to families they know that are doing it tough.
Well, that's terrific.
So it is a great community initiative. I think it builds community. It makes people feel included, even when they don't have much. And I think, so I really do want to give them a shout out, because that that really, you know, gives us and the kids a lot of assistance. But we still need much, much more assistance from all your listeners, you know, making donations to at least change this trajectory for some of these kids and young people.
Heidi, you know I support you. You know I think you're a great organisation. But I'm going to throw something to you now because I'd like you to answer it. And it's not my personal view, but when I got off today, somebody along the line in the next week will say to me, oh, you did a talk about homelessness. Well, I think most of these kids choose to be homeless. And I don't agree with that, but I'm asking you, what are you going to say to those people? Because now's your opportunity.
Look, I am sure that all your listeners have heard a story from someone, you know, maybe in their network about a sort of a difficult teenager that decided they weren't going to do what their parents said. I mean, we've all had them. We've all experienced them.
We've all had them.
That's right. We've all experienced them. I'm really not talking about those kids. I'm talking about kids that, you know, where there is significant abuse in the home, where there's significant family violence that, you know, and what we know about family violence is that it really affects children and young people. And what we often see is that when children are old enough to get out of that situation, vote with their feet, that's what they do. They actually leave. They could also be being abused by a family member and they feel the only way to get away is to leave the home. You know, it may be that there's family breakups. I mean, I remember a story years ago where a family of a few children, working people, but they had to downsize from a three-bedroom home then to a two-bedroom, then a one-bedroom. And I remember the teenage boy was about 14 going on 15. He just couldn't fit. He just literally didn't have a bed.
Yep.
And so he started couch surfing. And then, of course, once you start couch surfing, you drop out of school. And then he ended up, as I say, in Nelson Road in one of our services. But it was just no fault of his own. And it was kind of no fault of the family. They just couldn't actually provide for him. And it just all became too much. So I think, yes, we've all experienced the naughty teenagers and the difficult teenagers. We've all experienced that. But these are not those kids. They're just not. Honestly, if they would go home and they would you know, and make amends if they could, you know. But often they can't.
And I guess, and I've read a bit about this, and I'm not talking about the children here, but because times are tough, and we are talking about some families who are working poor. Both people are working, but with highest interest rates and all that. And I think at times, which I've read, is that maybe dad starts to get frustrated or mum gets frustrated and all of a sudden violence starts that way too, doesn't it? It's not always somebody in the family, like the child's been a pest, so the father starts getting involved in that. It's often out of the control of a few people. And unless Anchor or someone break that cycle, it's going to get worse.
Absolutely. You know, if a young person comes out of a situation like that and doesn't get sort of popped back on the right path of, you know, finishing off school, doing some training, maybe going to university, understanding how to run a household, which is all the sort of programs that we run, you know, that they then flounder around in adulthood and could very well get mixed up in a situation with a new, you know, their own partners that are violent or, you know, or problematic and whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things that go on. I mean, you know, obviously a roof over a young person's head or a child's head is very important, but there's actually more to it. There's actually about reconnecting them and getting them back on their trajectory that they were on. And that's also really, really important. And we realise, you know, with a lot of these kids, these 76,000 kids being under 10, what you know about them is that actually we need to treat it as an emergency. They need to get back onto things, back to school, back to living, you know, learning, living, etc. So, you know, I just think that it just makes great deal of sense to me to intervene early.
Heidi, I've got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more. Paperback writer.
paperback writer.
Heidi, I was just thinking during that song, if it was in the paper tomorrow, there's 76,000 cases of COVID, everybody'd be jumping up and down and trying to do something about it. Because there's 76,000 young children, it doesn't seem to have the same prominence, does it?
Yeah, look, that's right. I mean, I think the news cycle is very short, as you will well know.
Yep.
I do think people care, but I think that the issues are very complex. You know, we're talking about housing, we're talking about all sorts of, you know, sort of issues, mental health services, etc. And people do get, you know, it makes them feel a bit despondent, you know, hearing these numbers. They think, oh, God, you know, like that's such a big problem, what can I do? And I guess that, you know, for me, what I always say to my staff every day of the week is, if you change one person's life today, you've done a great job. And we can only go by one day at a time and one life at a time. You know, I think if we try to look at the big picture, we all do get a bit overwhelmed.
It does get overwhelming, doesn't it?
It does get. And I think that's what the community, I think that's what they see. They go, oh, God, this problem's so big. How can I, you know, how can I fix it? And I guess that, you know, I then sort of, you know, circle back to, well, you know, if people support organisations like Anchor, then we're out there fixing these things every day. But we can only fix so much on the funding and the money that we have. Yep. So the more resources that we can get our hands on, the more we can fix this. I think if people can sort of see that they can, you know, make a bit of a difference, you know, coming through an organisation like Anchor and donating to us, then, you know, that they may feel a little bit better that, okay, I really have tried to do something. I've given and I've, you know, I've made a bit of a difference. But, no, look, you're right, the news cycle, you know, and look, you know, aren't we? We're just flooded with trauma and terrible stories and it feels like every day. But I do like to try to point out to people that this is Australia. This is in our backyards. It's next door. Actually, let's have a go at fixing what we can, see and what we can affect here in Australia.
And, I mean, even if you bring the numbers down by a few hundred to start with, it stops going up and you're starting to work on, as you say, if you only do one at a time, you at least something's going to happen rather than if it does, it's going to get worse.
That's right. You've got to start somewhere, Alan. You do really have to start somewhere. But look, I would really welcome people to go to our website at anchor.org.au and have a look around. We've actually had a big brand refresh and we've refreshed our website. It looks absolutely beautiful. And you can navigate through it easily and go to the donate page and you'll see the video of Omi and learn, you know, a bit more about what we do to address, you know, this really very unfortunate issue in Australia at the moment.
And I just say again that if we don't try and do something, well, it's just never going to get any better at all.
No, it's not. And this issue is within all of our power to fix. Like, this is not an unfixable thing. Yep. Yes, it's got lots of moving parts. Yes, it's complex, but it actually can be fixed. And we've just got to get the will behind it from all of us to try and fix it. Because it will actually benefit all of us. We will have these people, you know, these people working, paying taxes.
I was going to say, I don't want to be mercenary, but to be honest, once they get out working, they'll start to pay some taxes too.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, and I think that's really important. They won't have as many health problems as they might have had. You know, we know that unfortunately people who are homeless, and your listeners may have heard these recent reports, the alarming number of people dying in homelessness and because of homelessness. There's really alarming figures across Australia. And I think that, you know, not only are people dying, but they're actually being taken to hospital a lot. You know, that we see people who are rough sleeping, that they get their health gets to a point where they just have to be hospitalised. Now, that takes up beds in hospitals and whatever. Now, if they were housed and working, we wouldn't have those costs. They'd be contributing. So I think it sort of makes sense for us to, you know, to lean into this issue, and for Anchor particularly lean in early when their children and young people experiencing adversity. That's where we want to, you know, really put our efforts, because we feel like if we do that, then we'll solve some future problems.
All right, we'll take another quick break and we're going to be back. And Heidi, as I said, about 5 to 1, we'll get you to write down the details and have a look.
Sure.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
First Christmas song for the year, and when we're starting to get into December, we're starting to get pretty close, so I thought I'd put that one in. It was a bit of an updated version today from Brian Adams, but anyway, Merry Christmas. Heidi, I'm just thinking, because I actually played that song, made me think. Now, a lot of grandparents, and I was out with a couple of grandparents actually yesterday, and they were telling me how much I'd spend on their grandchildren. Now, a lot of these things, maybe grandparents, they might have a few dollars, and maybe a cut back the odd dollar or two to the grandkids. You're probably buying stuff that, you know, will be forgotten in a few weeks. Maybe you'd like to just donate a bit of that towards Anchor too.
Yeah, look, that's a really lovely idea, Alan. And it's funny, I was just thinking along those lines that I think that what is really lovely at Christmas amongst families is to make that donation on people, you know, someone's behalf, and say, look, I've donated so that other kids, you know, can have a good Christmas, and, you know, and find somewhere to live and so forth. And it's interesting, a lot of kids at schools and that we talk to are really becoming very interested in social issues, whether it be the environment or homelessness. Our teenagers at high schools are really worried about the world.
Yep.
And I think, it's a great idea that, we really don't need any more stuff. You know, we all have got a lot of stuff. And yes, you're right, you know, poor parents that, you know, if they've got, you know, several sets of grandparents or whatever, and, you know, parties come along and there's just stuff everywhere, and they think, well, where are I going to put all this now? And you're right, in a few weeks' time, the grandkids have sort of forgotten about whatever. But, you know, giving the gift of a donation, even if it's $20, $25, really, I think, you know, start that culture in your family, that education early, that actually we're having a great time here at Christmas, but there are many people who are not, and we should remember them. I know my mother every year doesn't really give out presents. She actually supports, she lives in South Australia, she actually buys, I think it's a great idea, she actually buys a meal for a homeless person through the Salvos. And so instead of giving presents. So, you know, I would absolutely encourage your listeners, send us a donation where you'll get a receipt so you can print something off, pop it in an envelope and say, look what I did for you this Christmas. I've made someone else's Christmas better.
I think that's a terrific idea.
Yeah,
and I know grandparents feel as though they want to splash out all this money, but very often, as you say, the young people, they get 8 and 10 things, and that they're not going to keep playing with them all forever anyway.
No. And I think that it's very important for grandparents, and I'm a grandparent and I know you are too, that setting an example to your family, setting an example to the grandkids that actually, you know, you are beautiful and you're so spoiled and you have everything, but there are kids that haven't. And I think introducing all of that into a family early as a culture is really, really important. I can't say how important it is in this world, to think of other people. And, you know, many families have their own causes, don't they? They, donate to different places. But, you know, I do think instead of lots and lots of presents, yes, I mean, one less, you know,
is
not a lot. Not a lot. But, oh, yeah, lots of lollies, yes, and all the teeth fall out, but yes.
Heidi, I'm going to take one quick break and we'll be back with more and we'll wrap it up. So please have your paper and pencil ready.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Can I give you my phone number? When you worry, call me. I make you happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile, but don't worry. Be happy. Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy.
I've been talking and still talking to Heidi, and she's the CEO down there at Anchor. Now, Heidi, we've given the people all the reasons we'd like to give some thought to donating. Let's tell them how to do it, please.
Okay, so donating to Anchor this Christmas means providing young people with a safe, stable home and the chance to follow their dreams. If your listeners could go to anchor.org.au and follow the Donate Now button, which is very easy to find, they can make their donation there. And look, if you have any trouble, the website will also have a phone number on it. I can't remember it right now, but I have a phone number if you need to ring and get assistance. But look, honestly, this Donate Now button is very good, very, very easy, and it's at anchor.org.au. And I'd certainly really encourage your listeners to think about those children and young people in homelessness this Christmas. Not going to be great for them, that's for sure. Love you to donate to make these children and young people's futures brighter than what they seem at the moment.
I mean, one of the things that happens on Christmas Day, and you've had children and now you've got grandchildren, so have I, is to see the look on the children's faces when they get open up at something. And it's not, we're not only actually only talking about presents here, we're talking about something far wider that you could actually start to lift some of these young children. You'd actually lift a bit of self-respect for them too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, certainly the children, young people we see, they get a great kick out of knowing that the community has helped and assisted and values them. They, you know, it's very important that we individually feel valued in our community. And a lot of these kids and young people just sort of hide in the shadows because they're very, very ashamed of, you know, of their circumstances.
And they shouldn't.
And they shouldn't be. It's really never their fault at that age. Mm. So I think, you know, that just these gestures of kindness, you know, do make a difference to people. And, you know, I just think that providing that safe and stable home and the chance to follow dreams is really what we want to give everyone in society. And these kids and young people are missing out terribly.
I remember a song, The Seekers, put a dream in your pocket. Without a dream,
yes.
And like you rob the future. The other thing is too, which we haven't really touched on, I know that you've mentioned health a couple of times, but it must impact on a young person's mental health as well, not just their physical health, but their mental health. It must be atrocious.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think anyone in homelessness, you know, child, adult, young person, whatever, their mental health, we notice their mental health does deteriorate. And I mean, that would be fairly obvious, I think, to most people. But I think my mental health might deteriorate if that were the case. I think that, you know, that many people that are sort of teetering on that edge of having some quite serious mental health problems are likely to go over the edge when they then go into homelessness. And that's what we see, is that all of these sort of things come crashing down on people. I think, you know, we work very much with what we call advantage thinking, which is lifting aspirations for young people and children who start their lives as being disadvantaged. But honestly, why shouldn't they have dreams just like us?
Why shouldn't we
dream with them and for them? They deserve it.
And the other thing is too that really, not, there's a whole lot of issues here. Unless you're careful, you take away their whole future. For no reason of their own. You're just robbing them of a future.
That's right. And as we've said several times during this interview, this is fixable. This is fixable in Australia. We just all need to lean into it and do what we all individually can. And the individuals online and in the Yarra Valley can really, help by donating to Anchor, because we're, you know, helping people on your behalf. And I hope you put your trust in us.
And if we've got any businesses listening, which we hope we would have, it's tax deductible, isn't it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's tax deductible for individuals and businesses, anything $2 or over. So that's also, you know, a bonus. But any amount of money is welcome. We've got, you know, we'll have, before we know it, it'll be the beginning of the year and back to school. And these families, you know, they don't have any spare money for back to school. So we're often, you know, in January, we often are paying for uniforms and books and shoes and whatever else, just so that these kids turn up to school in the new year.
That's right. Heidi, unfortunately, I've got to go.
Thank you
for being part of the show for the last year. We've enjoyed talking to you. Sometimes you depress me with the numbers, but if we don't try, then we're never going to get anywhere.
So first of all,
to you and your family, I hope you have a great Christmas
and New Year.
And to you, Alan. And all the staff, thanks very much. And for all the staff down there at Anchor, and thank you for your time during the year. And I know we've got you're coming back on a number of occasions next year already. So, yes. And I believe you're probably heading interstate to see the grandkids.
Yes, I am. Yes, very much looking forward to it. But Merry Christmas to all your listeners.
Yep.
And thanks to the Yarra Valley for their support of Anchor.
Not a problem. Now, we've got 30 seconds, so give us your website again and a plea.
Okay. So this Christmas, donating to Anchor means providing young people with a safe, stable home and the chance to follow their dreams. If all your listeners could go to anchor.org.au and follow the Donate Now button, we'd be very, very much appreciable.
And if everybody gave $2, $3, $4, $5, it'd make a huge difference. So they don't have to come up with $100. If they can come up with just whatever they can afford, I guarantee it's going to start to make some difference, isn't it?
It really is, Alan. Well said.
Heidi, again, thank you for your time. We've enjoyed talking to you. We hope that people will take it on board. It's anchor.org.au. You can't be any easier than to do that. So log on there. And look, these people are out there. They're doing it all day, every day. We're only asking you to give them a bit of money so they can continue their great work.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Heidi.
Thank you, Alan.
See you. Bye.
All the best.
Bye.
Bye.